You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com.
Welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper, who, you know, we talk about the past couple of weeks where anything that can happen in the AFL actually does happen. And that's what happened last week. I mean, if you look at it real quickly, who would have thought Arizona knocking off the once beaten Dallas Desperados, Dallas coming into the game, has the ability to go up, to continue their one-game lead over the Philadelphia Soul, who had lost previously, you know, last week to the Georgia Force. You know, we were talking about upset games. And lo and behold, they do it also. So it's just, who would have actually thought that, you know, Dallas would have this lead, and now they're back even again, and it's coming up. It's not this week. You know, Philadelphia, and they're the early game this week. Remember, there is a Thursday game this week. Philadelphia going up against lowly Kansas City. Anything can happen. And that's what we were seeing. Many of these things, AFL, said it many, many a time, parody at its best. Well, we are going to be continuing this week, our continuous look at the AFL salaries for all the players in the league. Last year, I think we had actually broken it down in between both the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen. I think we grouped them together. Let's go back and double check, but I know that because now that offense and defense are now going both ways, are not going both ways anymore, we're actually going to break it up a little. So this week, we're actually going to be going over the top 10 defensive linemen in the league. And then next week we will go over the final option. Well, we could do the kickers. Do we really care about the kickers? You know, if you want us to do the kickers, let us know and we will do them. But as far as I know, are the kickers even listed here? Wide receivers. Did I stop? Either way, defensive lineman this week, O lineman next week. Yeah, kickers are here. If you want to have the kickers week 5 in a couple more weeks, it'll be our 5th week, just send us an email here at AFL Tonight, and we will be more than happy to do the kickers. There aren't that many, so maybe we'll do the top 5 or something. But let us know, and we will go from there. We also got the scoring update this week. We got some playoff spots that are on the line, and we'll talk about that very, very shortly. Also, interesting information that came over the wire before we began the broadcast. Atu Moldon, a stalwart with the Chicago Rush in their championship run, and was with Las Vegas last year. God, I don't envy him for being with them last year. I mean, he was with them for the entire, let me double check this. He was with Chicago, if I remember correctly here. Double check, because it lists everything in alphabetical order on our webpage. We'll go back to 2007. Either way, Ethan Moldon out of the league. And here we go. Out of the league. Not picked up. I guess a casualty of the salary cap. And, but yeah, they finished up the year, started off with Las Vegas, and then ended up with the Chicago Rush. Is back in arena football. And it's not who you expect him to be with. You know, you expect with a name like Tom Molden, he would be able to catch on it back in the AFL. But because of all the quality receivers that are around this year, and probably because of the salary cap issue, and teams being too close to the cap, he actually has resurfaced in the AF2. He's resurfaced in the AF2 with the Stockton Lightning, or as our guys over at the AFL Tonight weekly show like to call them, the Stockton Cockroaches. The logo does look like a cockroach. But he is back with the back in arena football with the Stockton Lightning and of AF2. And we're going back and checking, and we're talking about salaries and stuff like that. Molden was only making $40K, and that's quite a bit of a steal when it comes to a receiver of his caliber. But he looks like he's going to be centering specifically on the wide receiver role, according to the Stockton press release, and not playing at the jack linebacker. I guess because they are stocked. Stockton is stocked at the jack linebacker. You know, glad that he's back in the league. I'm just curious to know, why was he not picked up by any AFL team? And, you know, but, anyways, there's really not much more than that could be said about Tom Molden. Great player. Just very surprised that he is caught on in AF2 and not on with any other team in the AFL. What else do we have here? And I will admit, trying to do a show here with a headache is not the easiest thing to do, so I wanted to make sure that we did get out the show. I know we did postpone it for one particular day for reasons that could not be escaped, but won't be mentioned. We did have the Rush. They were the first team to not only clinch a playoff spot, but they're also the first team to clinch a division title. And it was in that total shellacking. Here we go. It was in that total shellacking of the LA Avengers this past week. I mean, it was not even close. I actually need to change that on the AFL, on the Arena Fan message, on the Arena Fan, standings page. Listed as a playoff berth and not the clinched title, but I'll check that anyways. But speaking of playoff spots, there are four teams, well, three teams can clinch a spot, and Chicago themselves can clinch home field this week. Yes, we are in week 13, so it sort of makes sense, 3 weeks. 3 weeks left in the regular season. 4 weeks, sorry. 4 weeks left in the regular season. So it comes down to this. It is San Jose can clinch a playoff spot this week with a win or a Kansas City loss or an Arizona loss. Now, San Jose is not playing any of these teams this week, but it is very possible that it will be a moot point as of tomorrow night. So Kansas City loses to Philadelphia, if that's going to be the case, and I have a feeling it will. If that's the case, then San Jose will already have clinched a playoff spot by the time that they take the field on Saturday night. Dallas, you would think with the amount of wins that they have, they would have already clinched a spot. But they haven't. So Dallas can clinch a playoff spot, a little bit different than what San Jose is, because as we know, the National Conference is just a tad stronger this year when it comes to record-wise, and besides Chicago and San Jose. San Jose is, pulled away a little bit. But either way, Dallas can clinch a playoff spot with a win, plus a New York loss, plus a Tampa Bay loss. So a little bit more help in order to get a playoff spot this week. Dallas, as in New York, Tampa do not play each other. So the Desperados will have to wait out at least until, well, they'll be able to find out the Tampa Bay score before their night is done. So they'll be able to see if they have a chance at clinching a playoff spot. Also, Philadelphia. Yes, they themselves also have not clinched a playoff spot. But all Philadelphia needs to do Thursday night is win, and they clinch a playoff spot. Road to Arena Bowl 22. Chicago, as we were talking about before, has already clinched the Central Division. And they can actually clinch home field. And that would occur if, let's see here, if they win on Saturday night, and if San Jose loses to Colorado. So that's basically what's on tap this week for as far as playoff spots go. But as we have saw earlier this week, almost anything can happen, and we will, we'll take everything in stride. So it's great, either great fun nonetheless. So before we get to the defensive linemen, top 10 defensive linemen, we are going to be taking a quick break, an early break to pay the bills. We'll be right back. You're currently listening to AFL Tonight.
When you're watching the AFL, ever wish you could do the play-by-play? Now's your chance, thanks to official arena football sponsor Russell. The world-renowned supplier of sports apparel wants to pass you the mic and hear what you've got. The winning call gets a trip and VIP passes to Arena Bowl 22. Plus there's a bunch of other prizes like signed footballs and amazing Russell stuff. Look for the Russell display in your favourite sports goods store and then go to russellpassthemic.com to play. Listen to some calls and then record yours. That's russellpassthemic.com. Check it out. Cheers, guys.
I love it. That, if you don't know, that is the Russell ad, and that is our Arena Football and AFL Tonight fan, Mark, over in the UK. Great job, guy. I love it at the end. Cheers, guys. A little bit low, I think I will have to probably make it a little bit louder, but I at least wanted to get it in, it was nice enough to go ahead and do it for us, and I wanted to make sure that I got it in this week, so hopefully it'll be loud enough for you to hear, but I will make that louder a little bit later, and we'll have it better for the next show. It goes into the rotation with the other advertising for the Russell. Passthemic.com to play. So as we were talking about before we went to the break, so far, past 2 weeks, we've gone over the top 10 paid wide receiver quarterbacks and wide receivers in the league. This week, we're going to go over the defensive linemen. And whenever it would come up, it's not normal. We're really to come up with some steals, considering how many more linemen that there are. But it's unique to see, and nonetheless, especially with some of the ones that are in here. Now, you would think that maybe the linemen, they would be paid around $50,000 or whatnot, right? Well, that is actually not the case. The average for these 10 monster men is an average of $86,000. $86,000 average salary between these guys. apps. Wow. So let's go ahead and start. Well, we're going to do it differently this week. We are going to go backwards, and we'll go all the way up to number one. Sort of switch it up a little bit, compared to what we've done the past 2 weeks. So at number 10, we have Grand Rapids
defensive lineman, Ahmad Hawkins.
Ahmad is making $75,000 base salary for 2008. Number 9 goes to Joe Minucci of the Cleveland Gladiators. He is actually tied for 8th at $80,000. Actually, 7th for at $80,000. What does that mean? We got two other players who make $80,000, and they are Utah defensive lineman E.J. Burt and Tampa Bay defensive lineman. Are they all Tim? Joy Johnson. So that brings us to number 6. Number 6 goes to Brian Save. Save or Save? I think it's Save. From Philadelphia. Makes $82,000 to $500. Base salary. Next two are actually very, very interesting. Both these players play for the LA Avengers. And as we all know, the LA Avengers are just sort of having a really, really rough year this year. Different things from quarterback, you know, Sonny Cumbie, and remember, he was, you know, he wasn't in the top 10. Wasn't in the top 10, mind you. But he was a steal last year at $32,500. So these guys are being paid quite high, and, you know, they're just not doing so well this year. I think it's maybe a combination of things, but at number 5 is LeKendrick Jones, making $85,000 base salary. And then also LA defensive lineman Jason Stewart, who's making $90,000. Interesting, huh? Not only are there two LA Avengers within the top 10, there's actually two Philadelphia Soul defensive linemen. The other one happens to be, and Jason Stewart is actually tied for 3rd overall, he's actually tied with Eddie Moten of Philadelphia, also at $90,000. Next two, very well-known name, Silas Demery. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was one of the biggest defensive free agents this past season, moved over to Cleveland, but because he is hurt, and it occurred, I think, if I'm not mistaken, before the beginning of the regular season, but he is still, he's not playing, so he's on IR, but he is still making the second highest salary for defensive linemen based on their 2008 salary. And he is making $97,500. So number 2, number 2, and number 1. The number 1 player this year in the AFL, defensive lineman. Can I think of anything else? No, I can't. Goes to Kansas City defensive lineman Gerald Brown. He's making $100,000. So, pretty interesting to say the least, I think. I guess because they're playing more hands-on role, so to speak, because they are going one way. I checked the stuff from last year. Didn't have a chance to do it before we went on air, but interesting. So what do you think? Any of these players that are showing up here, now we did have some ones that were still in the $70,000 range that obviously didn't pop up because they weren't in the top 10. So what do you think? Any of these particular players should not be paid this high? Especially how they are performing this year, or Would you think somebody else should be in there? Or is there a defensive player that you'd like to know where they are ranked or what they are being paid for the 2008 base salary? You know how to do it. You go over to the radio show page, choose on the link to email us here at AFL Tonight, and we will get you your answer either via email or we'll bring it up on next week's show. I don't know, I saw these and I honestly thought the numbers would be a little bit lower because there are not very many players over the $50,000 level. So I thought it was interesting nonetheless, and you know, the guys here, AFL Tonight staff were having a little bit of an argument. They're talking specifically about Jason Stewart and LeKendrick Jones. You know, Utah, okay. You know, E.J. Burt, I can understand. There are some very well-known names within this top 10 list, so. As it, give us your feedback and, you know, become included within the, AFL Tonight staff and myself. Well, scoring update. And this is an... Last year, week number 11 was the lowest scoring week for 9 games for the first time since week 10 of 2006. 105 points scored on average last week. Blew it totally out of the water this week alone. 111.6 points scored per week. We were actually within 34 total points of last year's 9-game schedule. So in 34 points of outscoring, you know, 9 games and 2 extra teams. So the past 2 weeks we have actually increased. But when you come about it overall, I mean, and I'm coming up, by the way, this week for at least for week 13, it's going to be a little bit tough. There has not been a 1,000 points scored at all this year, obviously, because there are, you know, 2 less teams. Closest we have gotten is we've broken the 900 barrier 3 times. It's going to be a little bit tough, I think, next week. It's going to be over, it's over 1,000 points scored, but overall, though, you would think, you know, we've been continuously taking it apart, you know, as far as average-wise goes. But overall, would you believe it is only an increase of 2 points compared to 2007? That's it. So, I'm going to reiterate, as I mentioned many a time, I'm sure the league's going to be like, yes! Don't have to worry about it being whatever. It's only 2 points. It's only a safety. It didn't make much of a difference. Blah, 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 blah. Makes me wonder what happened if we still had 9 games. 2 more teams. Makes me wonder what would happen. Either way, though, on the year with the, we scored, 10,488 points through 96 games. An average of 109.3 points per game. Interesting. 8-ball. For the first time that I have seen, the Magic 8-ball was actually able to stay with the humans. Good 8-ball, that is. All 3 humans three humans. Oh, God. Headache. 3 humans had over 5 wins. Bad 8-ball continues to have had only 1 winning week on the year. Good 8-ball actually matched both humans, myself and the other player, at 6-2. But overall, humans still do lead, but good 8-ball is still 2 games behind me. Just 2 games behind me. and only 6 games out of first place. So, probably one of the better years. Last year, 82. There were more games. Percentage-wise, we'll see what happens. I don't know if anybody's going to make it. I don't think anybody's going to get over 100 wins. Not with those last games, but we'll see. Not on a pace, so we'll see. Either way, you can keep track of that on the Arena Fan message boards. As a lot of people are, actually. Great thread. And we're still going to try to come up with something if we can for next season. Continue this and maybe do a little bit bigger twist to it. But we will... We'll see as the year goes on, so. Anything else can bring up specifically? And I know I don't mean to, probably one of our shortest shows of the year. We're not going to be having the franchise flashback this week, just based on time and, as I said, pounding headache. So I do apologize. I will make it up though. I will make it up. There is one thing. Tampa Bay's Lawrence Samuels can actually become the career reception leader if he is able to get 15 receptions this week versus the Cleveland Gladiators. Game happens on Friday. Currently, Barry Wagner is the all-time career reception leader at 991. Lawrence Samuels is at second at 977. Damien Harrell at 961, and Chris Jackson at 952. And fifth on the list is touchdown Eddie Brown with 950. That's something to watch. So, anything else? Oh, and I cannot believe that I have forgotten this ever since that we have started it. Some of you may or may not know that we are trying actually something different. We at Arena Fan would like to have your feedback. That's right. We want to know how you feel about your local team. Well, what can you do about it? If you head over to arenafan.com, one of two things. You can either click on the banner, this is Arena Fan Ratings, at the top of the page, or on the far right-hand side. Or you can go to www.arenafan.com/fanratings. Let me double check. Fan ratings. www.arenafan.com/fanratings. We have come up with 10 different questions that we would like to have your feedback on. They are from the arena, concessions, tickets, pregame events, everything down to ownership, front staff, coaching staff, etc. We want to have your rankings from anywhere from 1 to 10. And all of these, and we will be once this is over, we will have an exclusive here on AFL Tonight, and we will have something posted specifically on arenafan.com also. But we want to try to get as many teams as possible, fans from as many teams as possible to let us know how you feel. Again, and also, with this information, we hope to be able to pass it along to the league, show them specifically, our teams or league, how you feel, and maybe they themselves can go ahead and improve something. That's what our objective is. So head over to, again, arenafan.com/fanratings and let us know how you feel. Week 13. Unlucky 13. Ooh, it's so scary. It's probably going to be very scary on Thursday night for the Kansas City Brigade. Team, it's crap. I'm very surprised that Kevin Porter is still the head coach. But with, you know, Philadelphia getting back on track by beating Columbus, this game should actually be a walk in the park. I would not be surprised if this game has got to be at least a 14-point spread in my mind, if not more. But Kansas City tries to do the ultimate, pull off the major upset on Thursday. So if you haven't done your pick'em, you haven't done your fantasy stuff, better remind to do it. Most stuff you have about an hour until game time. On Friday, Cleveland heads into Tampa Bay. Cleveland is trying to continue to stay within the Eastern Division race. And if you think about it, Cleveland is only two games out behind Dallas. And I remember mentioning it before, Philadelphia has a half a game lead over the Dallas Desperados, and I think if next week, I could do this every week that we talk about this, eh? Week 15, Philadelphia and Dallas in the return. But Cleveland wants to stay close. Tampa Bay, on the other hand, is trying to get back to 500. They've won two in a row. And with Orlando and New Orleans slipping as of late, it's allowed them to get back into it. Who would have thought we might have, at least in the American Conference, more than one team that's under 500 that's going to be making the playoffs? I can hear the rumblings now. Woo! Yeah. Dallas, Orlando, almost exactly the thing. Dallas wants to keep pace with Philadelphia, depending on what happens on Thursday night. Orlando wants to keep that half-game lead on the New Orleans Voodoo. On Saturday, New York, after having their winning streak snapped drastically by the Georgia Fours last week, they go into Columbus, a very underachieving Columbus Destroyers team from this year. And they try to start a new streak. And, you know, it's tough. You know, you have a team that is 6-5. And they are still four and a half games out. Three and a half games out, whatever, of first place. So New York wants to continue to keep positive momentum going. Remember, I mean, I think they broke a 4 or 5 game winning streak. They want to be able to continue their push to the playoffs. Chicago, Utah, on paper, may just be as bad as the Kansas City, Philadelphia game. Utah has been playing better as of late, but if Utah happens to play anywhere like LA did on Monday night, which I don't see occurring, obviously because of Joe Germain, who is the league's top-rated quarterback, they actually may give Chicago a run for their money. But I don't see it being a win. Grand Rapids, Arizona, I really do not know who will want this game more. Arizona's hurting at their quarterback position. Grand Rapids, as we know, has been up and down and up and down all year. But they were able to stay within 8 points of Tampa Bay last week. So, Arizona, with it being a very weak request, they're probably gonna be able to get into the playoffs, but they just want to possibly catch San Jose, but I don't know if it's going to occur, though. Speaking of San Jose, with a playoff spot on the line, they do have Colorado this week. Colorado, next to L.A., probably would be one of the other, and Columbus, very underachieving team this year in the Arena Football League. Finally, Ben Nelson is playing the way that he should be. But I don't think it will be enough. But then again, San Jose, not the same team as last year. So, anything, I'm sure, anything it can happen. Colorado, I'm sure, wants to try to start something positive after losing to the Cleveland last week. Grand Rapids, on the other hand, also. Colorado lost to Cleveland. So, by 4 points. So, both these teams, too, are hungry for a win. And finally, on Monday, huge, huge Southern Division matchup. ESPN2, ESPN360. The somewhat sliding New Orleans Voodoo play host to the somewhat resurgent Georgia Force. Right now, Georgia is now only one game back of New Orleans. They are currently on a 3-game winning streak. They are tied for the second longest streak in the league right now, next to Chicago's 5-game winning streak. So this, it makes huge, huge implications. Now, I think the positive for the Voodoo is that they are 5-0 at home. And that Georgia is 2-3 on the road. So bodes well for the Voodoo, just the question of which Voodoo team is going to show up. The one that was lighting up and knocking off teams left and right, and it was leading the Southern Division, or is it going to be the New Orleans Voodoo team who has lost two straight and seems to have somebody seems to be taking a voodoo doll to them. One right in the crotch. So that would be a very good matchup, and obviously, next to Chicago, probably tied with Chicago as the best fans in the league. Well, that's it. That is it as far as our podcast goes this week, and the show here at AFL Tonight. As I said, we will be bringing back Franchise Flashback next week. There were also a couple other things that did happen that we were going to bring up, that we'll bring up next week in detail. It has to do with, obviously, the NFL and their owners basically opting out of the CBA. What effect could that have on the AFL, or what could that lead the AFL to doing? Remember, we've had the talk of, you know, we have this. Okay, the NFL opts out of their current CBA, but yet also we've had the talk of single entity ownership. What could that mean for the future of the AFL? Something to think about. Again, if you want to contact us, you can do so. You can head over to the radio show page and click on the email. Send us an email here at AFL Tonight, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. So, for everybody here at AFL Tonight, I am your host, Tim Capper. We'll lead you out with theme to Raiders of the Lost Ark. As we know, it does start on Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. Crack that whip, Indiana. I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.
ArenaFan.com, the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.